It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading with verse 25. And so Matthew chapter 26, verse 25. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. And our email address here is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. Love for you to visit that site and enjoy some of the studies. Hope that you would not only come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, but also that you would be able to enjoy growing and learning more about Jesus. If that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study, we're going to begin reading with Matthew chapter 26, verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount Olives. We're going to end the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come together and to study your precious word. Such a joy, Lord, to be able to fellowship together with you. It's a joy as we come together as with the church, with the fellowship of believers that we have. It's just such a joy to come together and study your precious word. But Father, you've also opened this opportunity up to do this across the airways. And Father, I ask that you would use it in a mighty way and touch the hearts of all those that are listening today, that they will not only come to know you as their Lord and Savior, trust in you and you only, not in any works that they might have or do, realizing that they're sinners and they're lost and they need a Savior. And Father, you have sent the great Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to convict the heart and introduce each and every one to your Son, the Lord Jesus, so that they can say, "Yes, I need a Savior." So please, Father, just today, touch every heart and then begin that wonderful walk each and every day, growing closer and closer to you, being more and more like your Son, Jesus. So please guide and lead us through the study today now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have come together here and we have looked at these past verses of Scripture, and it's something here because, again, this is the first time that it's identified that it is one of the 12 that's going to be the one to deceive and show the enemy who the Lord Jesus, who he is and where he is in those cases there. And so as we look down through these verses of Scripture, we find that each one of them, and as we have read in the other Gospels, part of these verses of Scripture, we find that it is finally identified, and verily I say unto you, the one of you shall betray me. And that was in verse 21, so it was identified that it's one of the 12. And then they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "The one that dippeth his hand with me in the dish." And the Son of Man goeth as it is written in verse 24 of him. But woe unto that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It hath been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which has betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said to him, Thou hast said. And he left immediately at this point. But it is so sad to think that Judas was able to hide that he was not a true believer of the Lord Jesus. No one suspected him. No one thought it was him. Each time they even, you know, everyone said, Lord, is it I? They even wondered themselves. And it was, I think, such a shocking statement when he made the declaration that that one of you shall betray me. And so as we walk down through these verses of Scripture, again, Judas was an excellent church member, we would call him, because he was busy at work, he served, he went out at the Lord's command, he did everything, but he rejected missed one opportunity, rejected that opportunity of being a child of God, being born again. Now, Judas had a choice. I want you to see that. There's no question Judas had a choice. And we were about to go back to Romans chapter 8 because here is what is set up for each and every believer as we look at Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to come to the 28th verse here because this is so important. A lot of people try to stay away from this for some reason, but it's so clear and so easy for us to understand. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we're going to stop there first, and we'll read on the rest of those verses in a minute. But right now, I want you to see that, number one, when you hear people say, and I think this is as far as we got last time we were together, we know that all things work together for good. That's where most people stop. Now, this is not true. What is true is we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The only way you can love God is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must accept him as your Savior, recognizing that you're lost, and accept the Lord Jesus. Say, yes, I am a rotten old sinner. I need salvation, and you're the one to give it to me, the only one that can give it to me. I can't work my way. I can't do anything. I don't deserve it. But thank you for that precious free gift of salvation and say yes to Jesus. That's what you must do in order to be able to make the statement, I love God the Father. Because you cannot love God the Father without knowing the Son. Because the Son introduces you and shows you and literally as a believer takes me to the Father. The Holy Spirit introduces me to the Son. The Son takes me to the Father. And I have the opportunity at any point in time. And that's the reason when you pray, you pray in Jesus' name. Please don't, if you're a believer, don't say in His name. Please say in Jesus' name, because that's where the power is. We don't want to miss that. And then it begins, once you've taken care of that, to them who are called according to His purpose. All right. We have scripture that tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, people have trouble with that verse of scripture. But the chosen, as we find as we read down through here, are those that say yes to Jesus. You're called. You're called today to come to Jesus. But are you going to accept it and become one of the chosen? Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. Now there's the point that I need to make very clearly for you. And that is the foreknowledge of God. Now it's so hard for us to understand that our God knows the future. He can look down before the foundations of the world and see the very day that I was going to bow my head and accept Jesus as my Savior. He knew that day. He knew that minute. He knew that hour. He knew that place. He did not control it because, you see, I have a free will to say yes or say no to Jesus. But I made that choice to say yes to Jesus. But I had a free will to say no. And many don't like when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and shows you that you're a sinner. Many people don't like that. It shows you who you are. But then He shows you to the one that can save you. And that's Jesus. So please, please do not reject what you see, because that's the true you. That was the true me. Because the very next step is the one that can answer the problem. And that's Jesus. God knew that. God knew who was going to. So the foreknowledge. Now, for those that He knew was going to say yes to Him by their free will, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He set a life before me, in front of me, the day that I got saved. I had every gift, every opportunity, everything I need to serve my living Lord, the Lord Jesus. He has set in front of me, in my life, those tools, if you want to call it that, that I can use, that I have. I have the power. I have the power to have victory over sin. I have the power to live a godly life. Yes, I'm still in the flesh, and I still make mistakes, and I still make the wrong choices. But for the first time, I have a power and an ability to change that, because the day I trusted in Jesus is the day the Holy Spirit come to live within my heart, and that He would continue to show me and teach me all about the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus takes me right to the Father. What a joy it is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus. So my life has those opportunities. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, set that ability before Him, then He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So the calling comes, the acceptance comes, and he gives us every step that we can serve him. And the word justification, a simple way to remember what that means is, it's just if I've never sinned. What a joy that the Father would look at me in such a manner as that. Yes, I still am in the flesh, and I still do sin, but not in God's eyes. God's eyes, because all he sees is the precious blood that was shed upon the cross, that the Son of God finished that work. He shed his own blood to save me. Not to save himself, but to save me and to save you. So what a precious statement there. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, those in other words that made the choice, them he called, yes, he called them, and to whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a glorious statement. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's us. Anyone that's saved. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have one that we can go to any time, any day. In the Old Testament, there was only one day, the Day of Atonement, that the high priest would go into the presence of God. He had to go in with blood. You would never go in without the blood. If you did, you'd die. But he only went in once a year on the Day of Atonement. You and I, as a believer, can go to the Lord Jesus at any time. What a precious joy. What a day. What a day. Now, the reason that I took time to go through that is I want you to see that Judas was not predestined to the life he chose. If he would have said yes to Jesus, as the other 11 did, he would have been given all the tools and everything he needed to live a godly life and to serve God as he should have. But instead of that, he said no. He said no. He had a choice. So I wanted you to see that. Judas had a choice. And God's foreknowledge did not change the nature or the desire of Judas. Judas is the one that made that decision, as each and every one of us have that same choice. If you'll notice, Judas never once called the Lord Jesus Lord. He always called him Master, which means teacher. He always believed him to be a great teacher, a good teacher, but he never believed that he was the Son of God and he was to be the Savior of the world. Judas never, never called him Lord. Now, as we continue here, and the 26th verse of Matthew begins what we call the Lord's Supper. Some of you call it communion. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Judas is gone. This is not for a person that is not trusted in Jesus. This is only for believers. It's only for those that have something to remember. It says, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament. When we look at that, you could use that word as we've been studying in Hebrews, New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So when we look at those verses of Scripture, we're going to stop there, because now I would like to go back into Mark, Matthew, Mark, and we're going to look at the 14th chapter in Mark. Mark 14, verse 22. Same thing, Lord's Supper. As they did eat, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And we're going to end there in Mark chapter 14, and now let's go to Luke chapter 22. And we have the same, and I'm going to begin up here in verse 14, Luke 22:14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled of the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, and let's look down here in verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it is determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to acquire among themselves. And so as we look at this giving of the Lord's Supper, and in the other Gospels it appears that Judas had left at that time. So, but I wanted you to see this do in remembrance of me. Judas was not present at this time. It says, as they were eating, Jesus moved from the Passover to this new memorial of him. So at this time, the Passover actually is to never be again. Even though they did continue, and that's what the book of Hebrews is about, because they desired to continue in their bringing of animals, the function of the high priest, the man here on earth. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he has completed all the work, and he is our high priest. We need no earthly high priest, because we have a great high priest that is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And so we have many things here. Now, just to kind of help us a little bit, I want to go to where we read each. We have the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of every month. The scripture says, as often as you take it. And so, but here's what Paul told the church of Corinth. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or again, New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so as we read that section there, we need to understand that the purpose was to remember what Jesus did on the cross. That's the purpose of it. Now, let's come all the way back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. There are some that believe that the very juice or wine, whichever you use, and the very bread or morsel of whatever material it's made of that you use, whether it's unleavened bread or whatever it may be, believe that when it's blessed, it becomes the actual blood and body of Jesus. No. We're to remember what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross for you and for me. It is not. And others believe that once you take it, it actually becomes the blood and the body of Jesus. That true is a lie. That is not according to the Word of God. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is for us to remember that Jesus was crucified, that Jesus shed his blood, and the day that you trust in Jesus as your Savior, truly, truly come to him. Trust in him as your Savior. That day is the day that you will never forget. The day that you accepted that sacrifice that Jesus made for you, what he did for you, you're remembering that. There is no forgiveness of sins when you take the Lord's Supper. The forgiveness of sin comes the day that you say yes to Jesus. But some today believe that that's something that you need to do often. No, you do that once. And if you truly trust in Jesus, in him alone, not in your church, not in your religion, not in your baptism, not in your confirmation, not in some man here upon earth, you trust in Jesus and him alone and say, yes, I recognize Jesus. You died on the cross and I trust you alone. Come into my heart and save me. That's a day that you will never forget. Now, if you would say those words lightly and do not mean them with your heart, then you could be one of those that every week when you go to church that you take communion or you say the same thing over and over again. I feel sorry for you. Because all you need to do is come, listen to the Holy Spirit today, because he wants to tell you all about Jesus. And I want you to come to him today, trust in him today, and follow after him, please. The bread is not his literal body, and the juice or the wine is not his literal blood. Please, please understand that. We're going to go back, but we're out of time as we always are. And we're going to start here back in Hebrews, and we're going to look at a book, Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to look at that. I want you to see that. My dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?